90.3 on the Frequency Modulation Band Radio. www.ckut.ca on the internet. Streaming audio, archive shows, and information.
CKUT.
Salut, ici Matt Track, vous écoutez CKUT 90,3 FM.
Magandang hapon, nakikinig po kayo sa Radio Kapwa, where all Filipinos are Filipino enough.
All right, my name is Veronica, one of the hosts of this, I was about to say podcast, but one of the hosts of Radio Kapwa, and I go by she, her as my pronouns. I finished political science with minor in human rights law and society from Concordia University, and I'm currently an intern in a law firm as a paralegal. So I will give the mic to my co-hosts, Des.
Hello, thank you, Vero. Hello, everybody. My name is Desiree Escalante Ruiz. I'm so happy to be here on CKUT 90.3. My pronouns are she, her. I am an entrepreneur and a holistic connector and life coach, helping people walk through challenging life transitions. I am also a decolonizing mama, also here representing the second generation Filipina Canadians, and I'll pass it on to friends.
Thank you, beloved Kapwa. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our first show back as Radio Kapwa. My name is Fran Stoner. I am a mental health counselor and community organizer. That kind of got jumbled a little bit. Well, it does get jumbled, right? The work actually gets jumbled. But I'm really happy to be back. For those who don't know, this is a reimagining rebirth of the Sigaw ng Bayan show that was founded in 1999 and ran till 2017. And we're really, really honored that CKUT would welcome us back into this new iteration. So before we jump into it, I just wanted to go into a little brief explanation of where this kind of new name that we're rebirthing came from. So Radio Kapwa is an inclusive Filipino, Filipina, Filipinx community and cultural space that celebrates the diversity and difference of people with roots to the Philippines. With three historical colonial invasions, multiple waves of migration worldwide, and over 7,000 islands, we recognize and honor that we're not a monolith. So we provide a wide range of programming, music, and discussion topics to really reflect this diversity. We also want to share some of our values. We aim to share our platform with grassroots community organizers and organizations, and we're really excited to interview with inspiring members of our community. Our framework will be intentionally based on values rooted out of decolonization. And our mission is to create an anti-patriarchal, anti-racist, anti-homophobia, anti-transphobia, non-ableist, faith-inclusive, trauma-informed, inclusive space, all the things. We are dismantling all the things, and we'll be welcoming the conversations on how we are going to be rebuilding.
Tired of trying to explain. I've got zero tolerance when they fuck with my sacred space. Bar the trolls, hit the corners for escape. Build the platforms, take up space. Code the scripts and infiltrate. Cause you're never not fighting the racist system that keeps powers in place and that fails to acknowledge the root of your pain. Took it too personal, over emotional. Where are you from? Are you beauty or brains? Over the top of too little or too much? Damned if I do and I'm damned if I do not. Talking class, race, and the sex intersections. My feelings are valid and I won't dismiss them. I was taught not to trust my own mind and decisions. My body is my body. I won't give them an apology. Indoctrinated habits. Like smile, nod your head, I'll talk less, close my legs. What? That's exactly what I just said. Are you serious? If I lose my shit right now, will I just be dismissed right now? If I lose my shit right now, will I just be dismissed right now? Will I just be dismissed? Welcome to the Sad Fam Club, baby, you are enough. Hey! Welcome to the Sad Fam Club, baby, you are enough. Hey, 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 hey. Toxic masculinity is killing all the poetry. Hold my brothers back from free, flowing with the sea. Our tears like the holy ink to sink a patriarchy. Popping egos like balloons, cause we don't exist for you. Bomb. Don't try to tell her to be calm. Colonial repercussions. Any questions? CC the boss. She's the boss. Expert of self. They pray to moon. She raps and spells. I'm attuned to what you're numb to. Check my mood ring. Did I ask you? No. I prefer my make-believe to their bullshit. I work within it, but at the end of shift, I build spectrums on the internet. I art attack cause I'm an empath. Foundations, Filipinx. No limits on how I choose to express with my pixels and my queerness. You can't hold me back. If I lose my shit right now, will I just be dismissed right now? If I lose my shit right now, will I just be dismissed right now? Will I just be dismissed? Welcome to the Sad Fam Club, baby, you are enough. Hey, 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 hey. Welcome to the Sad Fam Club, baby, you are enough. Hey, 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 hey. Ooh.
Welcome back, everyone. Oh my God, that song, like that vibe. And none of you can't really see this, but we're all online and we're all bopping and just like, just feeling that song, which is called Sad Femme Club by Kim Mortal. So on, just to add on to what France was mentioning earlier about the name and why we chose it, and why Radio Kapwa. So we honor the Tagalog word for radio and it's linked to the history of grassroots activism and radio in the Philippines. During times of martial law at the hands of a violent dictator, Ferdinand Marcos, Radio Bandido was the lifeline anti-Marcos for community organizers. The word Kapwa does not have a direct English translation, but describes the inner sense of connectedness we feel towards fellow country folks. I just want to add something that makes me think of Kapwa, and it's that without you, there is no me. And that's when I think of Kapwa, it is that and the togetherness that we need to have.
Yeah, it feels like every time we say like, oh yeah, it's my Kapwa, so-and-so, and then the non-Tagalog, non-Filipino just like, what is Kapwa again? And I just have really hard time trying to explain it. I'm just like, I don't know, my fellow people.
Yeah.
My fellow human. Like, I feel like in the Tagalog language, like the word, when you add ka to everything, it kind of like connects it, right? So it's really important for us to like also highlight the sense of being connected to each other. And like, that's the beauty of our language. Add one syllable and it like changes everything, it connects everything and unifies us. And speaking
absolutely.
Of
absolutely, yeah, I find that like the best, sorry, you know, I just wanted to squeeze in because I find the easiest way to explain Kapwa is really that feeling when you get when you meet someone new and then you're both like, wait, are you Filipino? And the other person's like, yeah, I'm Filipino, are you? And you're like, oh, it's like literally that feeling where you've never met this person ever in your life and you bump into them and there's this recognition, right? There's this recognition and there's this connectedness. So I just wanted to squeeze in and say
that. Yay. It's like recognition, affirmation, and validation. I'm like, I found my people. Hello. And it's just like, it's literally just one word. Kapwa, kapwa, yes, kapwa.
You know? Without you, there is no me.
Voila, there you go. And then speaking of Kapwa as well, let's listen to our dear Kapwa, John Marvin, who's going to be reading us the news from our homeland. John Marvin, the floor is yours, or at this time, the mic is yours.
Magandang hapon sa inyong lahat. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is John Marvin Reyes, a youth leader and a community organizer, here bringing you important news back home in the Philippines. The source is from Al Jazeera, an independent news organization funded in part by the Qatari government. The title of the article is Philippines Marcos Jr. Sets Out Big Plans But Little Detail. The Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. delivers his first State of the Nation address, or SONA, at 4 p.m. on Monday, July 25, at the Batasang Pambansa in Quezon City, the first in his six-year term in office. He outlined a series of ambitious initiatives in his first SONA, but analysts said the plans lacked detail and that there were glaring omissions on key issues such as human rights. Hundreds of legislators, officials, and guests gathered on Monday at the Batasang Pambansa complex, the headquarters of the House of Representatives of the Philippines in Quezon City, to hear Marcos Jr. set out his agenda in what is also the traditional curtain raiser for sessions of the Senate and Congress. Marcos Jr., who was inaugurated in July after winning a landslide election victory, started his speech by speaking about the economy, an urgent concern amid rapidly rising inflation rates and fuel prices. Marcos Jr. said the Philippines' gross domestic product would grow by as much as 8% annually over his six-year term in office. He pledged that the poverty rate would fall to single digits by 2028 and that a revamped tax system would bring in greater revenues by next year. He also said he would expand the infrastructure program of his predecessor, Rodrigo Duterte, including by upgrading the Philippines' rail network. We live in difficult times brought about by some forces of our own making, but certainly also by forces that are beyond our control. But we have and we will continue to find solutions, Marcos said in the speech. But economist, columnist, and professor J.C. Punumbayan told Al Jazeera the speech was light on the details. These are targets, not plans. We can better evaluate his promises down the line, Punumbayan said. Marcos also mentioned raising more taxes from the digital economy. How much revenue do we expect from this? Weeks before the SONA, a Pulse Asia research survey revealed that inflation topped the list of the Filipinos' most pressing concerns. Wage hikes, poverty reduction, and curbing government corruption followed. In June, the Philippines recorded 6.1% inflation, the second highest in Southeast Asia. It also reported the highest unemployment rate in the region at 6%, according to the Philippine Statistics Authority. Although Marcos Jr. made optimistic growth forecast, think tank Ibon Foundation says the Philippines was actually the fifth worst performing economy among the 10 countries in the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, during the coronavirus pandemic. Sunny Africa, Ibon's executive director, told Al Jazeera that Marcos Jr.'s speech lacked real solutions to the country's economic problems and was borrowing from his predecessor's playbook in terms of economic priorities. The speech confirms that the president does not have any original thinking about the economy nor a comprehensive plan to correct its long-term decline, Africa said. Why are there specific numbers for huge infrastructure spending but not when it comes to social services when we need it most, he asked. Others said they hope to hear about plans for desperately needed financial assistance for vulnerable workers such as drivers of jeepneys, minibus-like public vehicles. We are dismayed. Instead of a remedy for soaring oil prices, Marcos Jr. wants more taxes on top of the ones on fuel. Elmer Cordero, 74, a local leader at the Monumento Baclaran Jeepney Terminal, told Al Jazeera, "We need to keep fuel costs down if we are ever to go back on the road." Marcos Jr. Sauna sounded more like a business proposal rather than an intention to help those in need. Transport group Piston estimates about 20% of the country's jeepneys have prematurely retired from the road since the start of the year because incessant oil price hikes make a day shift too expensive. Annalise said Marcos Jr.'s speech, which ran for an hour and 14 minutes, also failed to mention or expound upon a host of other key issues. Professor Babi Twazen, a public policy expert at the Center of People Empowerment Governance, said measures to tackle corruption and human rights were noticeably absent from the president's debut sona. Thousands of demonstrators marched ahead of the speech calling for justice for victims of human rights abuses under the two-decade rule of Marcos Jr.'s late father, a dictator who was deposed in a 1986 uprising. Meanwhile, although Marcos Jr. pledged he would not make any concessions to China on disputed maritime territories, Twason said that he would struggle to stick to that stance, especially as Duterte had also made a similar claim in the past, only to take a softer line amid numerous incursions by Chinese vessels in the regions. It is more of a political message to secure the cooperation of Congress and other major interest groups in support of Marcos Jr.'s foreign policy, Twazen said. Like Duterte, he can use it as a leverage on China. The article is written by Michael Beltran on July 25, 2022. Again, thank you so much for listening. Maraming salamat sa pakikinig. Once again, this is Jen Marvin Reyes, delivering you Philippine news from abroad.
All right, so thank you for doing your research and actually bringing awareness for from the homeland in here as well, because that's what we do. We want to like also talk about what's happening in the homeland, and it's very important to advocate about it. And before we move on, we also want to show you some, let you hear another local news that you will be hearing from our own Kapwa again. See, the word Kapwa will come up every single damn time. Abby, the mic is yours, and we'll let you present as well.
Good afternoon, Kapwas. I hope everyone is doing well today. So my name is Abby, and today I'll be reporting some local news for you. So the topic that I decided to speak about today is pretty important since it's been going around, and I'm pretty sure most of us heard about it already. It's the monkeypox. So I'll be reading SanteMontreal.qc.ca's article, What You Need to Know About Monkeypox. So since May 12 of 2022, Montreal's public health is investigating cases of oral and genital ulcerations linked to monkeypox on the island. Most of the reported symptoms are skin lesions in the mouth and on the genitals. These signs can be preceded or accompanied by fever, night sweats, headaches, swollen lymph nodes, and joint or muscle pain. At this time, none of the investigated cases have been seriously ill, which is a pretty good news. The agent causing the symptoms could be less dangerous from the monkeypox virus. The infection spreads through close, prolonged contact. Incubation period is usually short, so like 5 to 7 days, but can last up to 21 days until all the skin lesions have crusted over. In most cases, it disappears within 2 to 4 weeks, so very cases have serious complications. However, we still need to watch out. And so here are the main symptoms observed or reported by people who've had it. So number one, skin lesions, especially around the mouth and private areas of your body. Fever, headache, intense fatigue, itching, sweating, swollen lymph nodes, muscle and joint pain. There is actually a vaccination that reduces and prevents this symptom here. So currently the vaccine is offered to people who've had direct skin-to-skin contact with someone who has monkeypox, direct contact with objects or bedding potentially contaminated with the monkeypox, and physical contact at less than a meter with someone who has monkeypox. But if you are not sure, you can call your doctor or you could get checked up just in case. And if you are concerned about it, there's always 811 to call for assistance. So let's try to limit the spread of the monkeypox virus by helping each other. And also by preventing stigma against those who are most affected, this is not related to HIV and AIDS. So guys, be careful about what you say to other people or what you think about other people. To further educate yourselves about the topic, there's a lot of helpful resources online, or you can also contact your doctor if you're really curious about what's going on. So this is Abby reporting local news. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
All right, so you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. For those who just tuned in with us, it was our dear Abby who just read you some local news about here in the Turtle Island. And before we move forward, we will be tackling the importance of land acknowledgement as a settler ourselves who was colonized by imperial powers. So moving forward, we will be discussing some heavier topics. So we just want to let you hear Good Vibe by the beautiful Sabotage, who is, again, our dear Kapwas, Montreal-based Zodiage. We can safely say that they are our Ates and Kuyas. So here we go.
Different places that we've been, and the music that we played is the strangest heart in pain. It's okay to come alive, because in life we always strive, and the music that we played is the strangest heart in pain. Stories that we found, you always try to find the sound to the music that we played. It's the strangest heart, it doesn't matter. I'm counting all the friends I made, making every moment last before the next one fades. It doesn't matter, I'm not even trying to make it there as long as I'm with you. I'm counting all the friends I made.
just one kiss, one look at you, I feel this. No way to replicate a love like this. Can't do it unless it's me and you. Nobody makes me feel the way you do. Had to wait for this. What I've been trying to find has been in front of me this whole time. After all of this time, you stay on my mind, make me unravel my disguise. I see my future in.
You just listened to Laura, our dear radio tech. The song is called Eyes. So if you were just arriving into it too, give her all the support that she needed. Laura, L-O with like a dash in the middle of O-R-R-A. You can find her in any other platform or just Google her. She will be there. She's also a radio tech. And if you are like lost of her voice because it's so smooth, you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. We are Radio Kapwa. And for today, we're going to be talking about a little bit heavier things, which is land acknowledgement. So why is this important, Des?
All right. So one reason is ancestral diplomacy. Territorial acknowledgement is rooted in an ancient indigenous diplomatic custom. When an indigenous person was on the territory of another nation, even if he was passing through, he would announce his presence by saying something like, I acknowledge that I am on the traditional territory of XYZ nation. It was a way of saying, I acknowledge that you are the nation responsible for preserving this territory and I come in peace. How, I mean, that just gives me a visceral reaction hearing that and knowing that respect is the first word that comes to mind, you know, and just honoring each other's spirits. It, you know, it's not just, you know, when you walk into somebody's home, you're like, hi, I'm here, thank you. But a home is not just four walls. A home, like, you know, like it's off, the land is so often clearly discarded in so many different cases. So I just love that.
Absolutely. And, you know, it also really connects to Filipino culture in the same, in the sense that this is paalam, right? This is all this is. This is the practice of paalam. You walk into your lola's house, you say, hello, I'm here. Like Des mentioned, you give them a little mano po as a sign of respect, as a gesture of respect. I think we also find this in our culture when we have our so-called superstitions. I say so-called, right? Because they come from pre-colonial spiritual practices, right? But this so-called practice of like tabi tabi po, we see it as this superstition, but actually it was our way of respecting the different beings on a certain land who are the protectors of the land, like the duendes, right? Duendes, it's said that when you disrespect duendes, you get sick. But again, of course you would get sick because they are the protectors of those lands. So just a little way to connect it to our culture. All this is a sign of respect and a gesture of pa'alam.
Yeah, I mean, when I was growing up, I would always be like, when you play tagotagoan, you know, when you a field of lands and some houses here and there, I would always be saying tagotago. I mean, I would be always saying tabi tabi po, and I never really realized what it meant. It always just feels like, oh, because baka makarma, like you might get cursed if you like don't say this out loud. And I would be yelling and tabi tabi pa, you know, because I was really, really scared of it. And a lot of people around, like in around me, was just saying how like, no, you have to say it because you have to tell the ninuno that you're passing by to the land. And you know, it seemed very juvenile when we were younger because we didn't understand what it actually entailed. But now, like in our own decolonized journey, like you understand that it's really just we acknowledge like the people and like the holder and the custodians of this land. And so all of the warnings now that we're saying in English makes more sense. And like when we practice what we preach, it's not just we check box to say, okay, we did the acknowledgement. Like it's rooted somewhere. And as Filipinos, it's also rooted in our practices. It's not just because they want to pack with you to go home or don't go to that abandoned area. There are holders and there's spirits in that land that we were playing as children. And I'm glad to be able to experience that when I play with like the children around my area in the subdivision. And it's nice that there's a connection between this, and it's also nice to root it in our solidarity with the indigenous community here as a settler.
I love that. And I also just wanted to add that it's also this, again, the colonial mentality of like just taking and just going somewhere and being like, I'm here, I don't have to say anything, this sense of entitlement. Whereas, you know, when you go somewhere, it's like, hello, I am here. Can I enter? You know, like this reciprocity, which again is so often forgotten. So
yeah, it's like when you're knocking on your neighbor and then you ask them if like someone's there, you'd be like, may tao po, right? Because you're
asking.
Like not only you're asking if there's a physical human in the house, but also you're announcing to the spirits around the land that like, is there someone I am going through. So it's like it also roots back to like how we have like this deep respect to the nature and to the land, and it kind of lost into translation, but we wanted to let people know about our own practices pre-colonial, and I think this is a perfect opportunity to say it.
So another reason why land acknowledgments are important is that acknowledging territory shows recognition of and respect for Aboriginal peoples. It is recognition of their presence, both in the past and the present, basically what we were talking about earlier. Recognition and respect are essential elements of establishing healthy reciprocal relations. These relationships are key to reconciliation.
So the wording is also like very important, because it's just like how we say it in our values and our goals and our mission, like the indigenous communities are also not monolith, right? So it depends on the territory where an activity is taking place. So there is First Nations, there's the Métis or Inuit, and it's important to know whether or not they have modern territorial agreements or treaty that exist. So for example, among the Métis, when you are on a Métis Nation territory, you simply refer to the territory and not the traditional territory. So the wordings, like my legal background is coming up, like the wordings matter. Like if you add this one word, it might change a lot of things. And that would mean they will not have rights, or they will have more rights, those kind of things. So this is like an example and guide that we want to also use. Just like when we say like the monopoly, like just like our vision again with San Capua, like the indigenous community are not monolith, like we said. And this kind of also explains in a sense like the mixed reaction regarding like the Pope. So the leader of the Catholic Church like has done his visits here in Quebec, where we are from. And some people were like, there's a mixed reaction of the Pope wearing the headdress. Some people liked it, some people did not like it. But we also want to acknowledge that it is not really our space to talk about this. We just want to emphasize about the monoliths type, that like some people do it, some people don't, and some people like it, some people don't. Among the Inuit, the tradition of acknowledging the territory does not actually exist for them, the Inuit. However, the Inuit Nunavut, where the Inuit live, is not a large monolithic block, but it compromised four separate regions. So having or not having a modern territorial agreement or treaty, the wording of the territorial acknowledgement changes depending on whether there exists a modern territorial agreement or treaty, so traditional territory, or not. So unceded traditional territory between nation, the nation, the First Nation, the Indigenous Nation, and Canada as the government. So among the Inuit, the tradition of acknowledging the territory does not exist, like we said. And there are also the four regions that I just mentioned, I forgot to mention it, are the Nunavut, and then there's Nunavik, which is Quebec. We have the Nunatsiavut, the Labrador, and then we have Inuvialuit, so new Northwest Territory in Yukon. There are hundreds of First Nations in Canada as well, so we really highly encourage you to check on which traditional territory you find yourself in.
So yes, definitely. And like what we're also trying to do here is we're really trying to be truth tellers, right? We're trying to be truth tellers and we're trying to bring in corrective measures as settler immigrants. So we're displaced people because of turmoil that happened on our soil, which we're going to definitely talk about throughout the show, throughout other shows. We ended up here in so-called Canada. And the narrative that was always shared with us, which is very similar to the narrative you hear about Indigenous people in the Philippines, is that European colonial rules came here and saved us, came here and rescued us from our savage ways, right? So what we're trying to do is being corrective, is being remedial, and showing that nobody was discovered here. Right? Nobody was discovered here. There is a long history of a vast majority of Indigenous people from all walks of life who had multidimensional practices that look different from tribe to tribe. And how might we learn more and more about them and honor them, right? And same thing goes for the Philippines. Magellan didn't discover anything. I always find it so convenient that we read about Magellan in history books, but we never read that he was killed in the Philippines, and he was proudly killed in the Philippines by our datus, you know? So those are the ancestors that I want to honor. And I also want to honor and give thanks to everything that we benefit from here, right? So here we are jumping, talking about land acknowledgements, and we didn't even do ours. So I just want to take the time to say that Radio Kapwa operates, CKUT operates out of Jojage, which is colonially known as Montreal, and has been the longtime meeting place of many First Nations. But we also acknowledge that the Kanyenkehaka Nation are basically the custodians of this land and are also honorably bestowed with the name the Keepers of the Eastern Door. So we thank them for welcoming us here. We ask humble permission to kind of keep doing everything we're doing here. And I hope we also are able to demonstrate through Radio Kapwa that a land acknowledgement isn't just like a checklist thing, right? It's not something that you just do at the beginning of your event and you're like, I did it, done, we're good. How do we keep building these relationships? How do we keep unlearning? How do we keep being truth tellers and being corrective about these colonially violent things that we were taught and not taught, right?
Thank you, friends, for that. And I also just wanted to add, because I mean, in full transparency, I've only heard land acknowledgements a few years ago, and because I'm not in school, I don't work for a corporation, and I had attended an event about 3 years ago, heard it, and I was like, oh my God, curious to learn more. And that was the beginning of my decolonization journey. And there's a feeling of like, I understand the importance, but don't know where to look. Don't know what to do, feel like I'm saying something wrong. It's really important that it is integrated now in any event that I would facilitate or host, but there's like this feeling of discomfort. And I just wanted to pop on here to share with anybody listening that might also feel this discomfort, just to know that like, just the fact that you're thinking about it is beautiful already, you know? And then we will provide resources and tools after, you know, websites where you can check to learn more about whose land you're on. I also wanted to share something that I do with my daughter now, or it's a practice that I do with my 8-year-old, is that whenever we travel or whenever we, you know, visit a new city, we went up north a few weeks ago, and, you know, we make it a point to go to native land and find out whose land we are on. And again, it's not an official land acknowledgement, right? But it's just to take a minute to acknowledge the original custodians and stewards of the land that we are on, you know? And it could be as simple as that is all I'm saying, you know, for some of you that might be like, I don't know when to do, there's no opportunity for me to do a land acknowledgement. I don't know how to do it. It could really just be in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, and just really taking a minute to pay your respects to the energy, the spirits, and the land, essentially.
Yes, and we all encourage you to discover, explore. It is uncomfortable, it is icky, but I think that's the whole point when we're unearthing truth. Oh, I think. Do we want to go to a little song break first before we continue our conversation? Just break it up a bit. I'm happy to do so. Maybe that was our little signal from these lands that they want to hear some music.
All right. So just a little bit of break, music break for us. You will be listening to Rent Money by Bamboo.
Chops on the track.
I could fight like Kung Lee with my old ass. Putting bullets in my own ain't why I tote plaques. That's for infiltrators trying to see me put down. Mad cause they can't get in a club. Look at me now. Out in Dago in the southeast, lamping out dark skinned Southeast Asian girls with their hair down. Holding back their big brothers in the lot. Scrapping me from war torn third world countries. What's happening? I could show you what it means to be in poverty, where half a slice of bread is worth a strong arm robbery. Rubber slippers, fuck the Jordans on your feet. Smack a politician, sample the slap into a beat. If it ain't about us trying to eat, might as well not even speak. Lot of shit I don't like. So I Chief Keef, fuck the chief of police. Insert whatever city, mountain brother with a platoon of gorillas rotting with me.
My comrades don't go pop shit, get pro when it comes to politics. And all the homies need to know is get money,
rent money,
get money,
food money,
get money,
school money.
Stop taking shit from me.
I can scrap like Ronda Rousey with my short ass armbar in the first round. Know that these little birds wanna chirp nonstop. But when I come around, you can hear a pin drop. Self-made prodigy, underground armories. One woman army, ain't no politician stopping me. Mad stripes like I'm Blue's Clues. And all my bad girls, hit them with that voodoo. Want your country back? It don't belong to you. And tell your God to go fuck himself, cause I'm on to you. I'm a heathen who's lucky I'm even breathing. Believing what you believe in, but money's never the reason. But if the money comes, who am I to say no? I've been struggling for years on that payroll. So all my soldiers get bucked when I say so. Stick them for their yen, rupees, and their pesos.
My comrades don't go pop shit, get pro. When it comes to politics, and all the homies need to know is get money.
Rent money,
get money,
food money,
get money,
school money.
Stop taking shit from me.
La 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 la.
Chops.
All right, that was Rent Money by Bamboo. So shall we move on, or like a little bit more discussions about the land acknowledgement? I kind of want to add the fact that us Filipinos, like, too distinct about the fight for doing land acknowledgement and such. So as Filipinos who are in journey of our decolonization, it is also important for us to extend our solidarity with indigenous people, because the violence, the violence of colonialism has like put onto us, like, is the reason why we're all displaced. It's the reason why we're here. Actually, the reason why we're away from our homelands, because our land has been taken both just physically and figuratively. I can even push forward and say like spiritually as well. There's a lot of things that was kind of like stolen from us, and we want to honor our ancestors and honor oral history, because I feel like with our Western influence, everything that is written in a book is the one that like has more credibility. But we are in a community where we talk a lot, like we pass a lot of our stories from generation to generation. And I think we didn't, we wanted to archive it in a sense, but with our oral, like orally speaking in a history. So Radio Kapwa is going to be a nice tool and a platform to talk about our oral history. So do we want any other talking
points? Yeah, I have a few more things, if that's okay. I think we still have a little bit more time. I actually think that that last song was perfect, especially with Rocky Rivera's line of, you want your country back, it don't belong to you, right? It's literally the same thing that we're told when we're told, go back to your country, you're stealing our jobs, you don't speak French, this, that. Actually, who are you to tell me to go back to my country, because this is not your country either, right? So here we are celebrating, honoring the multitude of indigenous communities who are here locally welcoming us on their land. Anything we benefit from here is really on the backs and the suffering of indigenous people. I would love to see the same energy as we did last year when we unearthed, what was it like? It was like around 200 or 300 unmarked graves of children. I believe the count is now something like 15,000, and we're not really talking about it much on mainstream media. So that's pretty awful. So just to kind of reiterate how Filipinos are not a monolith, how local indigenous communities are not a monolith, there is potential overlap, right? So several indigenous nations may occupy the same territory. In such a case, they must all be named when you do your territorial acknowledgement. So for example, in Vancouver, you have the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Tsawwisin nations, and they all agree that their territories overlap each other. Other examples also are Winnipeg. So for Winnipeg, we have that it is Treaty 1 territory, traditional treaty of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and on the homeland of the Métis Nation. And I also just want to take a moment to shout out my dear, dear, dear friend, Viz Lumen Cabrera from Anak, which is a community org out in Winnipeg, because she takes her land acknowledgement to another level where, and I think this is what it's about, right? She actually researched where her water comes from, because often our water comes from different sections, different things like that, because it's further from city centers and needs to like go through piping and all these things. So when she does her land acknowledgement, she also adds that her water, if I'm not mistaken, apologies if I'm saying the wrong thing, but her water comes from Treaty 3 or Treaty 5 or something like that. So I think that that's a really, really beautiful way to kind of keep the conversation going, learning more things about the different communities. So again, there's no standard wording that applies to all territories. There's no one size fits all. Several municipalities, provinces, and territories have worked with their indigenous partners to codify an appropriate wording. So when I travel, I'll either check the Native Land website, which is a really good one, but I'll also maybe go on local academic sources. So I'll visit university websites, and I find usually university websites have an Indigenous Studies department or Indigenous liaisons who help put together land acknowledgement. So for example, Concordia University, if you're not too sure how to pronounce Jojage, not too sure how to pronounce the Kanyekehaka Nation, there's actually a little button you can press and it helps teach you how to pronounce things. And I think this is what we're supposed to do, right? Take the time to learn and honor where we are at. Some resources you can refer yourself to is, I really love this guide to acknowledging the First Peoples traditional territory, and you can actually easily find this on the Canadian Association of University Teachers website. Some of the information we've shared with you today that we've included in our production notes and through this conversation, we actually got it from the Indigenous Learning Center, which is a part of the Canada School of Public Service. So there are resources out there for you. We also strongly, strongly, strongly encourage you to read the TRC, so the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. These are just really great ways to be in allyship with the communities that, again, our families benefit from here every single day.
That moving forward, we want to offer you another own kapwa of ours, Tamara Gray's music, Auburn, to give it a little bit more of a entering out of this conversation, if I may.
Thank you. tripping all my words now. I seem dumb, but really I just know how you are basically the one. So nervous, I'll start having some fun. There's a party only begun. I can't help but stare at your pretty little face. Not really, I just feel that I'm a bit out of place. So perfect, you'll easily light up the space with grace. It's not the way you say hey, the way you're calling my name. Must be the word you choose to say, cause how we're practically the same just makes me wanna get to know. I think I'm falling for you. You're oh so ordinary, completely rare. Now I'm fully debating, driving by yourself insane. More like contemplating with my glass of champagne. Oh, 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 I don't know what to do. No one to say I like you all in here.
I hope you all enjoyed that. That is the wonderful Tamara Grace and her latest release. She is a local Afro-Prenai, and we want to support her as much as possible. Her song is now available. Please go and check it out. And she's usually performing at a whole bunch of our Filipino community events. So before we go into sort of closing and shout outs, we're just going to share with you your Ate Alili from the Informals Quick Career Minute. Here you go.
Welcome to Quick Career Minute, hosted by your Ate Alili. I'm the founder of The Informal and your first generation professional career mentor. Are you job searching or want to improve your interviewing skills? Here's what I recommend. 1. Research the company, the team, and study the job description. 2. Summarize your experience, responsibilities, and expertise through examples of challenges and achievements. 3. Prepare your answers for common behavioral interview questions. And 4. Be ready to ask your interviewer questions. Don't forget, interviews are a two-way street. For more career advice, you can find me on Instagram @_theinformal or visit theinformal.ca.
Thank you so much for that, Ate Aleli. Look at all of us thriving, moving up in the world, upward mobility, taking up those career spaces. I see you, Filipinos. I see you, Filipinas. I see you, Filipinexes. So basically, in closing, I think we just wanted to share a little bit about, you know, what do we each want you to feel from listening to this show? So for me personally, I just want all of you who've never felt like you fit into the Filipino community, maybe the more conservative, maybe the more traditional Filipino community, as much as there's so much beauty there, how can we move forward and bring the beautiful parts and leave the division and the gatekeeping and the exclusion behind? So I want folks to feel seen, I want folks to feel heard, and I also want folks to feel welcome. Our microphone is yours. If you have anything you want to share with us, if you want to come on the show and have a conversation, everyone is welcome. I also wanted to take a quick little minute to just shout out everyone who came here before us. You know, this is, I think, like the fourth or fifth iteration of quote unquote Sigaw ng Bayan, now Radio Kapwa. So we were founded in 1999. So shout out to that first group of Filipino students who were like, yeah, let's take up that space. But during my time, I want to give a big thank you to Ilian, Jillian, Julie Nieto, Neil Castro, Tracy Alarcon, Crystal Alarcon, Boggs, Sarah, Jassy Badion, and I know I'm forgetting more people, but everyone who kind of made this happen. We are also in a new time slot. We are just closing in on the hour, 3 p.m. Wednesday. We used to be Fridays, 2 to 3 p.m. We are now Wednesdays, 2 to 3 p.m. But I just want to give a big shout out and thank you to Butcher T. Butcher T's Noontime Cuts, who's been around forever. Our show used to be after his, and you have no idea how much us as a group learned about how to do live radio through the wonderful wisdom of Butcher T, who is just a Montreal staple in Montreal community radio. So love you, Butcher T. Passing it to you guys.
Yeah. So we, for those who are listening to us and who's interested to follow us, you can always follow us to our Instagram, Radio Kapwa, RadioKapwa. And also do support our bigger umbrella, which is Sent Kapwa, Centre Kapwa, Kapwa. And who do we want to close the whole thing? Do I pass it to Des, or is it too much?
Yeah, thank you both. And this has just been so amazing. Thank you all who are still listening, who just tuned in. Really excited to, again, make this station or this show a space for all of us to feel connected, you know, all generations. Share it with your family, share it with your mothers, share it with your lolas. Let's connect, let's learn, let's unpack, let's uplift each other. And we really hope that that's the feeling that you get in your home, and just like, again, connecting generations and connecting all of us as a community.
All right. Taking the time to thank Caterina Perez de Manuel, our very own Cat from Radio Kapwa, Centre Kapwa. She is our guest coordinator, and she's going to be the one emailing our beloved community to come and join us for a conversation. So thank you again for joining us today, CKUT 90.3 FM, Radio Kapwa. If any of your friends missed us, know that you could listen to us in the CKUT website archive, as well as our YouTube, Radio Kapwa. Thank you for listening to Radio Kapwa. Liberation for one is liberation for us all. Tuloy ang laban.
Yo, check this out. This is Flavor Flav, and you listening to C. Yo, check 1, 2. This is Flavor Flav, Public Enemy, and you listening to K. Yo, check 1, 2, this is Flavor Flavor, Public Enemy, and you're listening to CKUT and the place to be from the bottom to the TOP.
Yeah, perfect, man. Thanks a lot, man. Keep doing that, real heads. Keep listening.
Way live, then step aside.
On the way live, live, all the way.